Good morning. Happy Easter. Now, do you guys recognize this logo? Now, I don't know if you recognize it when it goes up. It's not that logo. You recognize that logo. They have their own business. No, the logo, do you guys recognize it? It's called Waze. Now, come on. See, I'm hoping everyone's into the Waze because this is my whole opening illustration. So you're going, oh, I never heard of it. But anyway, it's a navigation system on your smartphone, and it's owned by Google. And it's supposed to be the most sophisticated navigation system out there. In fact, what's interesting about this navigation system is that you can go there, and when you see a cop or you see road construction or you see something, you push on your phone and you send it, and therefore it informs everyone behind you that's on the road that there's something in the road that they have their navigation on. And so if I decide that I'm going to Riverside for dinner on a Thursday evening, which would be stupid, but if I decide to do it, what I do is I get in my car, I have a navigation system in my car as well, and I put the Waze navigation on as well. And so when it takes me 45 minutes to get to the 405 to the 10, and then all of a sudden, I'm not kidding, right? Then you're going, why are you going to Riverside? And then you go on this freeway, and then all of a sudden, Waze tells you to get off Robertson Boulevard. Now, what do you have an instinct motive. So do I believe in Waze, or do I believe in my own instinct? Am I the only one that does this? And 9 times out of 10, I go, screw Waze, I ain't doing it. I'm going to follow my own instinct. And so when I pass Robertson Boulevard, everything comes to a complete stop. And I go, why in the world did I not just listen to Waze? But then that 1 time out of 10 times when I do listen to Waze, it's taking me on some crazy roads that I've never seen. I'm going on a dirt road. I never knew there was a dirt road downtown LA somewhere, but Waze is taking me there. But somehow in the city of industry, I pop on 60 and I miss all the confusion. Now, the reason I'm talking about Waze, that Waze is to me is a game changer, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a major game changer for me. And I'll show you how I can connect them. And so if you look on the screen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just something that we look back to remember and celebrate. It's an event that's happened in the past, but can have a powerful effect on moving us into a complete different future. And so basically, every day I have to say, do I trust my own instinct or do I trust in the risen Savior? Do I trust in Jesus Christ? Because sometimes Jesus Christ is saying, get off of Robertson Boulevard, and it doesn't make any sense. But do I decide to trust? Look back on the screen. We have to learn to trust the way of Christ, even when it seems to be guiding us into unfamiliar territory or the opposite direction from which we're used to going. But when we learn to live by his new guidance system, our old way of life dies and the new one emerges. The guidance system of our new life is in Christ, is love. And so, therefore, we all have a normal guidance system in our lives that we think we're absolutely right in how we run our own lives. But there's a constant tug of war your pastor goes through. And I think you go through the same thing. So I'm just going to throw it out there. And I put it on the screen. I have a huge tug of war with what's called law and liberty. Now, let me define what I'm talking about, the liberty. There are forces in this world with me that have liberal forces that pull me towards liberty. That basically the typical idea of liberty, if it feels good and it's not hurting anybody, then do it. It's no big deal. And so why not just do it? Live and let live mentality. And so sometimes we think, well, I need to do it for myself. I need to do it for me. This is what's going to give me peace. And therefore, we program into our own guidance system. Now, if I were to go to all of you and I would say, pull out your moral compass. Because all of us have a moral compass that we make decisions with. And I guarantee it, because I love this church, is all of us, our moral compasses are quite a little different here. And so, therefore, we kind of congregate to people that have the exact same type of moral compass as we do. This is what's natural for us. And so, therefore, what we do is, therefore, everything's relative. There's no black and white. There's no right or wrong. And so, therefore, whatever works for you will work for you. And so therefore, when a celebrity does something great or something terrible, or a politician does something great, something terrible, we go to what's called the court of public opinion, social media. And we decide, do we shame the person or do we defend the person based on our own moral compasses? Now, let's look at the law side, the conservative law here. Basically, these are the ones that say there are rules to the road here. There are ways to drive. There's ways to program yourself. And so a lot of people, when they live in the society that we live in, they're not sure what's right or wrong, and therefore they get insecure. And so therefore the conservative forces kind of lure them into what we call the law and order. And so what's interesting, the fastest growing part of Christianity is fundamentalism, which is amazing to me because I grew up that way back in the 1960s, how it just turned around. And so therefore, in the fundamentalism, it's basically recruiting people that say, you know what, I don't want to think for myself. I don't want to do this. Just tell me what is right. Tell me what is wrong. Tell me what to believe in. Tell me what not to believe in. And therefore, I'll do this. And so therefore, there's a lot of conservative people, politicians or churches, that will gladly tell you what to believe in, what to do, and how to act. But it's interesting that when we look at both parts, we go, man, this doesn't make sense to me. And so the Apostle Paul deals with this. Now, I'm telling you, Paul is cool. And I'm telling you, when I get to heaven, I'm going to meet up with this guy. I just want to high five him. Because if he was alive in 2017, he would be so relevant right now, this decade, in this year that we live in. And so look back on the screen. Paul makes it very clear in his letter to the Colossians that those of us who died with Christ to the status quo way of this world are no longer controlled by typical human constructed forces of this universe in which we live. So Paul was having trouble here. Let me give you what's going on about these liberal Greeks that basically decided to follow Jesus and kind of moved over to Judaism to follow all the rules and regulations because they didn't want to think. They just give me the rules of the road, I'm going to follow them. And so Paul challenges this. He says this in Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 20. It's on the screen. He said, you died with Christ. Now the forces of the universe don't have any power over you. So why do you live if you had to obey such rules? Don't handle this. Don't taste this. Don't touch this. After these things are used, they are no longer good for anything. So why be bothered with the rules that humans have made up? Obeying these rules may seem to be a smart thing to do. They appear to make you love God more and be very humble and to have control over your body, but they don't really have any power over your desires. Now, this is what I think. This is what's called a behavior modification. And we learn how to behave in certain areas, don't we? You go to the LA court system, your language is very clean and you're very polite. Because you know how to modify your behavior in court, I would assume. But therefore, when you get out of court, there's no change. There's no transformation. You just go back to your old ways. And this is what Paul is addressing. In fact, Paul warns on the screen the Colossians not to trust the guidance system of strict conservative religion. He is saying it may seem to be the best route, but you're going to get lost and come to a dead end. Now, understand this. If we look at what we read, didn't the kids do a great job reading? I mean, I was hoping that they would mess up so I would feel more comfortable up here because I mess up all the time. I'm going, dang, these kids are perfect. And so anyway, so now I'm the one that's going to make the whole service imperfect. In Colossians chapter 3, it says this, you have been raised to life with Christ. Now set your hearts on what is in heaven, where Christ rules of God's right side. Think about what is up there. Not about what is here on earth. You died, which means that your life is hidden with Christ, who sits beside God. Christ gives meaning to your life, and when he appears, you will also appear with him in his glory. Now, back on the screen again. This is what we call the new guidance system. Paul gives to those who have died with Christ and who have been raised with him into a new life. The new guidance system requires trust. Being a new type of life has a hidden quality about it. We can no longer be visible to see Christ. Even our own true lives are not yet fully visible because they are hidden with Christ. But Paul reminds us that what is true of Christ is true of us, hidden in the heavenly realm in perfect love and unity between God the Father and Jesus the Son. The love that binds them perfectly in perfect unity is the Holy Spirit. If we have died and been raised with Christ, we too have shared in the love and unity. Can we learn to trust the guidance system even in the world where it often does not seem true? If we can begin to trust in the love of God, we can begin to drive off in the opposite direction and know that we are up and up where we need to be. See, this is interesting because if you look at the early Christians, they give us a prime example of what it means to follow Jesus. And a key word is follow. Sometimes we look at Jesus as some type of genie that makes our life more comfortable or say, you know, I need this. But what's interesting, and I just make it simple, what was important to Jesus was important to them. That's basically what it was. And so you have to understand that Jesus did not go on the liberal side, nor he went on the conservative side, because he hung out with the sinners, which ticked everybody off. You know, he wasn't here to please anybody but his Father. So you know when you're locked into a mission of life, it's not about pleasing people. This is the problem of being a pastor, because you want to please people. Because if you don't please people, you don't have anyone come to church. Okay? You pretty much have a job. So basically, that's what goes on. But Jesus, man, he knew his mission. He knew how to trust him. And so therefore, he never followed the religious rules of the road. Because they were telling Jesus, don't eat with them. Don't talk to them. Don't be around them. In fact, if you look on the screen, Jesus broke all the man's made religious rules. It wasn't because he was into liberal liberty that he rejected conservative law and order. Neither of those were his guidance system. Here it is. This is his guidance system. Was love. That was simply it. And so you look at Peter. Peter was nuts. And he's another guy I would love to meet too. Because he was cocky. He said, I won't deny. But he had a heavy prejudice against certain races. And he was a know-it-all. But when he decided to follow this new resurrection guidance system, man, this man was transformed and changed tremendously. In fact, he didn't follow the religious rules. He ended up sitting at tables and eating with people that he shouldn't be sitting at tables and eating with. Why? Because for Peter, it was hard for him to trust in this new guidance system of the resurrection rather than his own guidance system of his own religion. This is where I have problems with people that have grown up in church. Because I've grown up in church. I know how messed up you are. And so, because we are religious. We are very religious. And we can fall back on the religion. Even as a Protestantism, you would go back to the same routine. And so there's nothing alive. And so therefore, we lean towards the conservativeness or we lean towards the liberalism. And so what about us this morning? The resurrection may have taken us to a place over 2,000 years ago, but the resurrection guidance system wants to take us to this glorious future that basically would just give us a point of just living for the first time. That all of a sudden you don't have to worry about other people. You don't have to go to the rules. Because I've noticed the rules change. It doesn't matter what church you go to or what business or what work. All of a sudden you want to drive down this down L.A., the speed law changes all the time. 35, 45, 55, 65. Every time the law changes, it's hard. You have to focus. But the thing is, Jesus is consistent. Jesus is consistent. In fact, if you follow me on this, the typical earthly guidance system of liberty and law will let us down and leave us stranded. When by faith we turn on the resurrection guidance system, we realize that Christ is ahead of us and he's drawing us into a whole new way of life in godly love and unity. In that life, it is no longer about just my interests or my at the expenses of others. There is no us and them. There are no winners and losers. The circle of God's love is big enough for all of us. The angel who greeted the woman at the tomb said, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Jesus was the first to be raised and is ahead of us, drawing us into this new life of God's new creation. The old guidance systems are still around, but they continue to fail us. Will we begin to live as though the new guidance system, of God's love is true. If so, don't be surprised when you find yourself living this brand new, restored life, life of love and unity with God and others. And so as we close today, I'm so excited about doing baptisms. I had the privilege of baptizing David, Nicole, Jackie, and Samantha, an entire family. And David's going to baptize his children with me. And so as consistent with his, as him as a father, that I'm excited about that. Isabel and Jenny, going to baptize them. And then after the baptism, if you want to renew your baptism vows, we're going to have a special ceremony for that as well. And remember what I told you, that I'm going to be the first in line to do this, because it's important to me that I view that I'm God's precious child who is well pleased. That's what God says to us when we are baptized, when we renew our baptism. So I want to encourage you, as we continue to have the service after the communion, go out and stand there, and then we'll have a celebration of baptism and renewing the vows. May God bless you, and may God bless his word. And after, right after the greeting, anyone that's being baptized, if you can just meet me out the back so we can get ready for the baptism. God bless you guys, and happy Easter.